The Bible says in Ezekiel 22:30, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge, stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none." God's looking for a man today. Our nation is in desperate need of the leadership of fathers once again. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail this morning, the course of the service. I've done this long enough now that I try to be sensitive to the Spirit. God found none then, but He can find one today. There is a need in the land. And when there's a need for a man to fill the gap, I don't know about you other gentlemen, but I want to say, "Lord, let me be that man." To be that man, you have to learn some things. You have to learn how to lean on the Lord. You have to lean on the Lord for your salvation, because there is no one else to lean on for salvation except the Lord. You have to learn to lean on the Lord for your strength, because no matter how much you try and how strong you think you are, there's some things in life that you're not strong enough to handle yourself. But through our weakness, His strength is made perfect. You've got to lean on the Lord for soundness of mind. "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who upbraideth not, but giveth to all men liberally." He'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out the need that we have in our life to guide us, because we realize there's so many today that just need wisdom in the world that we're living in. Not only is He looking for men that will lean, but He's looking for men that will lead. Men that will say, I'll be the man that You have called me to be, Lord, that You have appointed in Scripture for me to be. Men that will lead their flesh to the right places. Instead of letting their flesh lead them. Walk not by the flesh, but by the Spirit. The only way that you can overcome the flesh, gentlemen, is by the help and power of the Holy Ghost. Fellow come to me one time and he tried to make himself look, perfect in every way. He told me about how his flesh never bothered him. And I said, "You don't need a preacher, you need a good doctor." We battle the flesh. Everyone battles the flesh. But there's one way to control them, and that's by putting the flesh under submission of the Spirit of God that's inside of us. Lead the flesh. Don't let the flesh lead you. We need men also that will lead their families. Husband is the head of the wife, even if Christ is the head of the church. Anything with two heads is considered a monster. It's a freak. Am I right about that or not? A two-headed man would be quite a show at the local fair. People would line up and everyone would be there to see a two-headed man. A two-headed snake is a freak of nature. And a two-headed family will never work. It's not that God says that the woman is weaker, that the woman is more frail. He just says there's a responsibility of leadership that falls on the male. They say that every day 299,000 men become fathers in this country. But unfortunately, they're not there. 15 million kids are growing up in homes without a father figure. And by the way, while I'm on this, God bless you ladies that had to raise your children without a father figure in your life and a husband in your life. God never intended for you to have to do that. I'm sorry that you had to do that. I'm sorry that the man wouldn't pick up his responsibilities and do what's right. God bless you for doing what you can. But I want to tell you something. The force against a mother trying to raise children by herself is intensified. The force of the world is intensified when she doesn't have the support of the father there. I'm not making that up. Fathers aren't there. According to an NBC poll, they discovered that the time the average child is 6 years old in America, he or she will have spent more time watching TV than they will spending time with their father for the rest of their life. You think about that. By the age of six, they will have spent more time with the television than they will with their dad as long as they live. I heard a recent study that says the average dad today spends 38 seconds a day talking to his children. Boy, it's quiet now. The father figures are gone out of our society. And the result of that, the children are paying the price and society's paying the price. You may not be ready for this, but I got to tell you this morning. Fatherless daughters raised without a father, are 53% more likely to marry as teenagers. Fatherless daughters are 111% more likely to have children as teenagers. You say, why is that? Because I made it pretty clear to the young men. You do what's right by my daughter, I'll break your neck. Amen. Sorry about that. Maybe you're wanting a perfect preacher. I think the father has the right to protect his home. Amen. Thank you for the one amen anyway. Fatherless daughters are 164% more likely to have an out-of-wedlock birth. Fatherless daughters have a 92% higher divorce rate than girls raised with dads in the home. Now, figures don't lie. There's an impact on our society, on the young ladies, when a father's not there. What about the men? Fatherless sons are 35% more likely to experience marital failure. Fatherless sons are 300% more likely to become incarcerated in a state juvenile institution. We have a group of preachers that commit their life to going to our local juvenile center and working with the youth. And we have people that work there as a living as well. And I think they'll testify. One of the great things those young men will say to them when they go and work with those young men is, there wasn't a father figure in my life. Fatherless children are twice as likely to drop out of high school. Fatherless children only have half the chance of becoming what they call high achievers. Doesn't mean that they can't. It's just half the chance. I didn't say that. The National Association of Elementary School Principals said 33% of children from two-parent families become high achievers, while only 17% of children from single-parent home become high achievers. And again, I'm not bashing single parents. I'm just saying you're trying to do the job that was intended for two. Fatherless children are 50% more likely to have learning disabilities. According to the National Center of Health Statistics, fatherless children are anywhere from 1 to 200% more likely to have emotional and behavioral problems. Fatherless people, when they're young adults, are twice as likely to need and receive psychological help. According to our nation's hospital, 80% of adolescents admitted for psychiatric reasons come from fatherless families. Families where the father is not there. It is not the fact that God says, I prefer the man over the woman. It is not an embarrassment to any woman to say that you are less valuable or that you are more fragile. It's just that we need a strong leader in the family. A dominant leader. Women are like silk. Men are like corduroy. Silk and corduroy, which is the most fragile? Which is the most valuable? Answer to both is silk. In God's wisdom, He has said to us that I need a male figure there to run the home, to be the leader of the home, not to be the boss, not to be the dictator, but to instill in those children principles of godliness and holiness and purity, and to let them know what's right and wrong, and to show them the example that you can be honest in all things, and to teach them to be a leader. Eli could run the temple, but he couldn't run his own children. David could run a kingdom and lead them into battle, but he couldn't control his own children. He did well in other areas, as most men do. They'll do well on the job. They'll do well in society. But when it comes to their home, there's no ability there to lead. I know that it's difficult in this day of women libbers and the feminist movement. And I believe that the man and woman is equal, but I don't believe a woman is a man. Like it or not, there's some things that only men can do. And then I'll say this, there's some things that only men should do. So if we dedicate ourselves to anything, I realize that a lot of you ladies here today, you're doing it alone. But I want you to know, when you are alone and you children, that you don't have a father in your home. Oh, bless His name. The Lord says, when you're without a father and without a mother, the Lord Himself said, I'll be a father to you. I'll be a mother to you. When you don't have that figure in your life, there's one above all and in all. He is the Lord God Almighty. He'll be a father to you. Lead you in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He says, I'll be a leader to you. When there is no leader, I'll direct you. When you have no direction, He'll be our Heavenly Father.
Amen.
You need to learn to lead, and you need to learn to love. You need to learn to love the Father. Love the Lord with all your heart. Howard taught on it on Wednesday night. We need to love the Lord with everything in us. Love the Father. If any man love not the Father, the love of the Father is not in him. The Bible says that if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. It's a powerful word, isn't it? You need to learn to love your family. A lot of people don't know how to love their family. They don't know how to love their wife. They don't know how to do anything romantic. You say, I'm not a romantic. Spend $10 on a book of poetry. Be romantic. It doesn't take a lot to be romantic. It just takes a little time. Boy, I'm losing the crowd now, aren't I? You need to let your wife know that you love her. No wonder she's so mean to you. I wouldn't put up with what she puts up with either. Most of you love your dog and love your truck and love your gun more than you love your wife and kids. Love your family. You need to love your family. Show love to your family. Let them know what they mean to you, because there'll be a time when the children will be grown, and there'll be a time where they won't be there with you. And the thing that remains more than anything is the fact that you have shown them that you love them. I read this week the story of a pastor that was dying of cancer. And he'd come down near the end of his life, and he was getting weaker. And one day his dad came to visit him, and his uncle came to visit him. And after they'd visited for a little while, he was getting weaker, and Steve knew he didn't have much longer. And he asked the rest of the family, said, if you don't care, will you step out and let me be with my dad a little while? They stepped out of the room. Several minutes passed, and the dad came out. The mom, the uncle, the rest of the family that had been waiting outside wondered, will he say anything or not? And they said, boy, you must have had a long conversation. He said, it wasn't long at all. Said, well, was there anything that he said that you can share with us? And he said, well, really, he just asked me to bend over if I would stoop down and hug him. And I stooped over and I wrapped my arms around him, and I was cautious and somewhat afraid because I knew the pain in his body, but I gave him a hug. Then when we turned loose, he said, now, Dad, can I hug you? He said, so I stooped back over and he put his arms around me and he whispered in my ear. He said, Dad, the greatest gift in life besides my salvation from the Lord was a mom and dad that loved me. that told me about the Lord. Do you love your family enough to show them God? I'm now on the other side of the fence like many of you. We've crossed the veil that we can't go back any longer. When mom and dad's both gone, you can't go back home anymore, can you? You'll never have a day on Father's Day to give them a call or send them a card or eat a meal with them or tell them that you love them. Those times are past. But I want to say this. I've got enough stored up in my heart that'll last me from now until I get home, Lonnie. Then we'll sit down and we'll talk about it forever. But it'll be so different then. Because one of the first things those that have gone on will want to do is say, have you seen the Savior yet? And they'll take us to His glorious presence. And we'll finally get to do what we've tried to do all of these years, bow down at His feet and tell the wondrous Savior of our matchless love for Him. Because He loved us. That's why we love Him. I love Him too, honey. Bless your heart. And we ought to tell Him we love Him. And we ought to tell our children we love Him. Because we not only love the Father and love our family, but also we love the fellowship.
Amen.
The church.
Amen.
Yes. I'll just be honest with you. I don't see how some of you make it without a church. I don't even want to try to make it without a church. Aside from my family, the love that I have for my family, the great love that I have is for this church.
Amen.
And I'll say this, if a preacher doesn't love his church, he ought to get out of it. And if you don't love one another, you ought to get out of it. When we come to this place, it is a fellowship where we come in the bonds and unity of the Spirit and love one another and show the love of God that is shed abroad in our heart by the power of the Holy Ghost to one another. The fellowship, what a place to show our love. You know, I watched the crowd this morning, as I do every Sunday. While watching the crowd, I noticed that several times there were women in the church that would get up and they would go to others. And ladies, I'm thankful for that. I appreciate that so much. Your willingness to get up and you go and you know what others are going through and you share your love with one another. But did you notice how few men do that? You know, maybe we think we can get along without loving one another. But the Bible says that if we see our brother and we cannot love him whom we see, how can we love him whom we not see? How can you love God if you can't love those sitting in your same pew, sitting on the other side of the church, or those that's down the road, or those that are in other church? How can we love God if we don't love one another? There has to be a love for the fellowship.
Amen.
I miss you when you're not here. I hope you miss me. We ought to have a love for each other. We ought to love one another enough to do whatever it takes to help one another and support one another. And I'm saying this to you today. You need a fellowship. Men, you need a place where you can come and find strength from other men and other leaders. A place where you can be taught how to be a better dad, how to be a better man, how to be a better person. You need a place where you can come and share your needs and your burdens with others and know with confidence they're going to pray about that. Everyone needs to love the fellowship. And for you ladies that are trying to raise your children without a dad in your life, you need the fellowship. You do. You need the help of the church. God's looking for someone today to fill the gap. Will you be the one? I pray today that He doesn't look down at Rubyville Church and say, I look for a man. I look for a woman. But I found none. be the one.